Welcome back to the Capitol, the AARP broadcast location. And it's still pretty loud, not maybe not as loud as it was. Please welcome Angie Rosser, who's with the West Virginia Rivers Coalition and a nationally recognized environmental leader here in West Virginia. Morning, Angie. How are you?
Good morning, Hobby. I'm well. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. Do me a favor, because this is a complicated but very relevant issue. I want to start by having you in, and I always trust, I put faith in I think you're a stand-up person. So give me, as objectively as possible, what this issue is about, and then we'll have a Q&A. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, it's about water quality standards. These are in place to limit the amount of pollution that can enter our water supplies so that they're kept useful or safe for drinking, for swimming, for fishing, for all kinds of recreation activities. So these are very important statewide that we are protecting our water for those designated uses. Every 3 years, they're reviewed under the Clean Water Act, mandates that. So we're in that review right now and in the final phase here of the legislative approval. The past year and a half, 2 years has been a long series of public meetings and comment processes and stakeholder groups weighing in. So we are at the point of decision now.
Of whether these standards will be put into state code, correct?
Well, they're already in state code. What is being decided is whether or not they should be updated.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Right. So these standards that protect human health have not been updated largely since the 1980s. So our contention is it's time to get up with the times. And there's been a lot of science done since then that tells us that we can be more precise in how we update these that in a way that best protects human health.
The pushback from industry is on a couple levels. One is that these are EPA recommendations for the state to act in what is in the state interest, and that the state has not fully done. The state hasn't fully taken advantage of its ability or authorization to tweak these standards to fit the state. Isn't that a fair criticism of these standards?
Well, it's true that the state is to look at what is the best data to use on this. And what DEP has said to this legislature is that they've completed that. They've spent 2 to 3 years doing exactly that. So we are in a position where we've looked at what they've done. We're trusting the best scientists that we have in this, working at the DEP to do a thorough job in vetting these. And they recommended 60 updates. The Rulemaking Review Committee pulled those out. The Senate Energy and Industry Mining Committee put them back in. And then the Senate Judiciary passed a comm sub late last week that took them back out. So we're on third reading today. The full Senate's going to vote on the bill as it stands without any updates.
Okay. One of the complaints about the updates is that there might be standards, because you're talking about 60 different, how would you have done it, 60 different
pollutants,
okay, mm-hmm. elements, mm-hmm. elements, mm-hmm. some exist naturally, is that correct, but 60 different elements, that some will be, with the new standards, even too small to accurately measure, so you could get a false positive, which could shut down a business or an industry, just that. Is it legitimate to complain about the potential of false positives under these new standards?
Not sure if false positives is the way is the issue. I mean, it is true that the science says we need to keep some of these carcinogens at certain levels to minimize cancer risk, and that the technology, the instrumentation, isn't quite advanced enough to detect at those levels. So right now, the way compliance happens, if you can show that with the current instrumentation that these companies use, you are a non-detect level, then you're good to go. You're in compliance. So what DEP has said and our analysis of this is that because they're below detectable levels, in a practical sense, that doesn't change anything for how the companies have to monitor and report compliance.
The industry has said, Angie Rosser's with us, West Virginia Rivers Coalition, the industry has said, look, give us an opportunity and we will do a more thorough review of these EPA standards and see how they best fit to the state. We'll do it in a transparent way so everybody can see what it is. Then we'll come back and we'll reassess.
Mm-hmm.
Why not do that?
Well, our pushback on that is that they had a chance to do that through the public input process, that this has been out in the open for 2 to 3 years, and that is the purpose of a public input process and a stakeholder. So it feels a little too late to come once it hits the legislature to say, now we're going to start studying things. Now, what I'm hoping to see out of this is that there will be a transparent study done. If the Senate decides to go down this route, I think it's a perfect issue to put in an interim study commission.
Mm-hmm. Okay, committee. So that's up for third reading today, and it's a rules bill, right?
Right.
What's the bill number that it's wrapped into?
It's 163.
Okay, SB 163.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's on third reading today. So we'll keep an eye on that. Meantime, it is Environment Day here. We heard you speaking earlier.
I heard that. Sorry about that.
That's okay. It's a shared space. We're all here together. We're all getting along.
Yeah.
So other than this bill, I'm going to give you a free shot here. What point would you like to make about the environmental movement or environmental issues in West Virginia?
Well, I'm seeing it growing, you know, which is kind of exciting. I think that people are seeing that the decisions made here affect their health, affect their, of course, their drinking water. We've heard a lot about people having problems with safe drinking water in this state, and that it seems like a fundamental right that if we're trying to attract people and jobs to this state, that fundamentally we need to have a healthy environment, a healthy place to live. So I'm encouraged in that way, but part of what we're seeing with this Rule 163 is that constantly we're up against rollback after rollback, year after year. And what I've asked of these legislators here is that let's have a open debate about the policy. Our consistent position on this issue is to look at the science, base environmental protection decisions based on science, not solely politics or not solely general statements made about what will create jobs and what won't. Let's ask more precise questions about that.
Okay. Are people hearing that message from the environmental sector?
Well, I think, you know, what I've heard from senators on this bill we're talking about is they've gotten a whole lot of calls and emails about this. I mean, it's a very personal issue when we're talking about people's confidence in their drinking water and their lack of confidence, sadly, that there are some corporations out there who are bad actors. And they are seeing in their own communities of environmental degradation that seems unnecessary. So it's, you know, I think the sentiment in the environmental community is that we want to expect more of our government to follow the law. There's an enforcement issue to this. And then, you know, support companies who are good stewards of the environment, who care about their communities, who care about providing clean drinking water, clean air, and are making those investments to take care of the people here.
Angie Rosser with the West Virginia Rivers Coalition. Angie, it's good to speak with you. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks so much, Abby.
All right, good to talk to you. This reminder here.